So we'll do two today, but I'm not going to say that. We're just going to pretend they're two different days, chopped in half, inshallah. They're both short, that's why. Good to go. Bismillah, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa lah, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. That's what we're doing. Alhamdulillah. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're talking about the sixth evidence that we use to come up with a ruling in Islam. Where do we get our rulings from? And so what is considered a whole category of evidence? The sixth one is called al-maslaha al-mursala, which is translated roughly as the public benefit. The definition and types of maslaha al-mursala. So another way of saying al-maslaha al-mursala is al-manfa'a al-mutlaqa. It kind of means the same thing. It means the general benefit. So pretty close in nature. It's a general benefit. When a ruling is made that has no direct text, right? So it's not coming from Quran or Sunnah directly. Neither is it is nor indirect text, as in there isn't a text that you can connect it through some sort of illah. We talked about that during Qiyas, right? We said, okay, maybe I don't have a direct text for this thing, but there is something else that's mentioned in Quran and Sunnah that I can link it to because it has the same properties. It has an illah, connective tissue, you could say, and therefore it has the same ruling. What if you have no direct text in Quran and Sunnah, and you have no connective tissue to anything mentioned in Quran and Sunnah? Rather, the ruling is based on the general principles, or you could say the objectives of Islam. Principles, al-mabadi'. Al-mabadi' means just principles, or objectives, maqasir sharia, the objectives of the sharia. So these are very broad and general categories that are about the benefit. So some examples of this are the Sahaba compiling the Qur'an into a book. You know, I wonder if you could debate this, because Allah Ta'ala refers to the Qur'an as kitab so many times throughout the Qur'an. But then again, someone would say this is in Lawh al-Mahfuz, so this is something else. So there was never any direct reference that it will be a book or you should compile it into a book, but it is for the general benefit, right? The Sahaba appointing ministers to various lands. Yes, the Prophet would send out, you know, delegates, but he never appointed someone in a land in particular as a, maybe as a faqih. Yes, I know was Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Ali, I think they went to Yemen on different occasions, but as a particular ruler to be the governor of that land? No, to our knowledge, at least according to this book. And then furthermore, building of jails. That was not something found in the Sunnah of the Prophet. However, it is obviously for the general benefit. Making a currency, right? Making a particular currency and allowing the owners of conquered land to keep their land and to just tax them, because you don't have enough Muslims to keep on staying at all these lands. They don't know this land. They don't know how to run the land. You just leave the non-Muslims there and then tax them the al-kharaj. So these are all considered part of al-maslaha al-mursala. Now, there are three types: al-daruriyat, al-hajiyat, and al-tahsinat. So let's take a look at all three of them. The first one, al-daruriyat, means the necessities, or the necessary ones. Anything that would be necessary to preserve the basic objectives of the sharia, which are the preservation of ad-deen, an-nafs, al-aql, an-nasab, al-mal. So these are considered the five, you know, broad categories of what this deen is meant to, this Islam is meant to preserve. Number one, the religion itself, ad-deen, iman, knowing who Allah is. This is why we have revelation. And nafs, it's supposed to protect life. Hence why we have the death penalty for the murderer. The idea is that you want to obviously punish the one killing. Why? To maintain the sanctity of life. Al-aql, that's why there's lashes for alcohol, because obviously you want to preserve people's minds. An-nasab, which means your lineage, meaning that we want to know that when a child is born, we know who mom and dad were, and hopefully, best case scenario, and what's encouraged is that they actually form the basis of a family. In other words, they stay married to raise that kid properly, and that's why there's the institution of marriage and the punishment for fornication. And al-mal, that's why you can't go around stealing. We want to preserve these rights. So anything that's going to preserve these things, even if it's not directly mentioned in Quran and Sunnah, neither can you draw a qiyas from it. But it is going to benefit. Therefore, you call that what? Maslaha mursala. So I hope that's the general idea. Then you have a lesser of importance. Not something that's an absolute necessity, min al-daruriyat, but it's from al-hajiyat. So anything permissible that would ease a hardship. So it's not like you need it to live, but it would ease a major hardship in your life. Then that would be considered a need, or min al-hajiyat, which is the goal, or you could say the spirit of the law, that we derive from many different rulings. So we see that in the sharia, there are lots of instances where things are made easier, and the examples we have are joining and shortening the prayers when traveling. Clearly, things are getting harder, so Allah Ta'ala makes it a little bit easier for you. The sick person or pregnant woman breaking her fast during Ramadan. she's not going to die. Inshallah, in most cases, being pregnant, you could still fast, but it's extremely difficult. So, therefore, she doesn't have to. The menstruating woman stopping her prayers, also, you know, it's a harm, it's difficulty. And so, therefore, she doesn't have to do so. And wiping over the socks for wudu. Instead of, you can imagine being a traveler, you're in a strange land, you have to take off your whole boot, you know, restrap it up, take off the sock, find water, wash the whole thing. It can be really stressful. And so, Allah Ta'ala makes these things easier. Each of these rulings prove the maxim, al-mashaqqatu, tajribu taysir, that difficulty brings in convenience. Or you could say tajribu, it attracts. So this is a legal maxim, a qa'ida fiqhiyya, that in general you find this throughout the sharia, that every time there is a difficulty, this deen tries to make things easier for that individual. We're all supposed to pray standing up, right? What if you can't stand up? Pray sitting down, right? It's not like, no, stand, break your back or something like this. Or, you know, I don't care how much, you know, if you just injured your knee, do it anyway. No. Alhamdulillah, al-mashaqqa tajibu taysir. It's going, that difficulty is going to bring about ease. Then the last kind is, the third type is, like we said, at-tahsinat, which is beautifications. Anything permissible that would beautify, which again is the goal or the spirit of Allah, the goal of the sharia, which we derive from many injunctions as well. For example, this deen encourages good character. Right? This deen encourages washing, not just encourages, but obliges, the wudu, washing before prayer. Encouragement to dress well and to smell great, right? These are things that, you know, it varies. You have to wear clothes, that's fard, but you don't have to dress nicely. You could dress, you know, okay, but no, you're encouraged to, right? Prohibition of filthy food. It could be halal, but is it good for you, right? Is it junk food that's halal? No, you want to eat even, not just halal, but halal and tayyiban, right? And encouragement to be patient, lenient, and forgiving. These are all things that increase beautification. So if there's any sort of situation where I can't find an exact ruling from the Quran or Sunnah, I can't find a qiyas that I can draw to, but in general, this is a maslaha mursala and it's going to beautify the situation, then you could therefore give it that sort of status. So proof for maslaha mursala, the Shafi'is, they reject it outright. However, the Hanafis, the Malikis, and the Hanbalis, they accept this concept. So again, we talked about how the first four, Quran, Sunnah, ijma' and qiyas, these four, there's no real difference of agreement here. However, when it comes to these other ones, you find that within the madhahib, they debate about these things. The proof for al-maslaha mursala is what? As time presses forward, new issues arise that don't necessarily have a parallel, yet Islam still aims towards the wellness of mankind, so we use those broad principles, again, al-mabadi or maqasid al-sharia, to derive some guidelines for those new circumstances. And what evidence do we have from the Quran to do so? Again, this is broad statements, but the Prophet says, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, except as a mercy to the world. So if it's going to be something merciful, it's probably in line and in the spirit of the sharia. Same thing with, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرُ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرُ. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. Now, proof for maslaha mursala is what? The fact that the Sahaba anhum dealt with new circumstances that they didn't have qiyas for, yet they made verdicts in the best interest of the people as their guiding principle in Islamic law generally. So they had this general guideline, and so they would make these verdicts or rulings. Therefore, it seems that this principle has the endorsement of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Like, for example, Umar ibn al-Khattab anhu didn't use zakah money to soften the hearts of the Muslims to convert them to Islam, because Islam already dominated at that time. So instead, use the zakah money for something else. The whole objective was Islam is weak. People, and maybe you could say that this very much applies in our circumstances. Someone's on the fence about Islam. We have zakah money, and this is the mu'allafat al-qulub, right? To soften the hearts. You know, help them out with their bills, help them out with their payments, whatever the case is. And they say, man, this is a really good religion. These are really good people. And then they take it more seriously. Maybe I'll read some more Quran. Maybe I'll actually listen to the seerah more seriously. And when they do so, they eventually embrace Islam. However, when Islam is spread far and wide and it's the dominant religion, you don't really need to do that as much, and therefore zakat can go to other things. Next, Umar al-Anhu didn't cut the hands of the thieves during the famine. That seems pretty straightforward. Uthman al-Anhu printed copies of the Quran on paper. He distributed them to the major cities and had the old copies burned. Ali al-Anhu, he burned the Shia that worshipped him. And the Hanafis in general have legislated the decommissioning of a doctor or a mufti who has lost his mind. If somebody, you know, is becoming senile or whatever the case is, perhaps there is no real precedence for this in Quran or Sunnah. Yet the Hanafis, they say, no, this is for the maslaha mursala, for the general benefit. Clearly this person's not functioning well. We have to decommission them. The Hanbalis have legislated the confiscation of wealth of a crazy person for their own well-being. Now, what are the conditions of acting upon a maslaha mursala? The ruling cannot contradict any clear text from Quran or Sunnah, obviously. Obviously, if it contradicts Quran or Sunnah, then you can't say, oh, for my general benefit, so I don't get a migraine, I don't wake up for Fajr. Something nonsense like this, sir. You know what I mean? You can't say, يعني مصلحة مرسلة, Habibi, this is the way it is. You know, people talk like this. They say, oh, I'm not fasting today of Ramadan because I have an exam. That's not enough, I'm sorry to say. You know, just because you're going to find it slightly difficult, who cares? It's supposed to be difficult. It's fasting. That's kind of the point. It must be practical, something that clearly causes benefit or reduces harm, like keeping documentation for land ownership to avoid false testimony, the prevention of price gouging. There's so many things in our society nowadays that we know, I don't know, I'm not sure if this 100% applies, but I'm just going to come up with things off the top of my head, like we have, driver's licenses, right? You know, the idea, you have a picture and your details, information, so on and so forth. Very practical to make sure it benefits the general masses. Stop signs, red lights, things like this. You know, these rules that benefit the masses. I don't think they had like a speed limit with horses or camels at the time of the Prophet. Maybe they did, I don't know. But I kind of doubt it. And so, but the fact is, it's for the maslaha mursala. It just generally benefits people when you do these things. And it must be a general benefit for all people, not favoring a select group of people. Obviously, it can't just be for this class or that class, maybe based on race or based on, like, you know, the wealthy class, etc. These things are not allowed. So that is maslaha al-mursala. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.